Ever get that feeling like, you're all set, got your defenses up. Like you've got Fort Knox for your data. You're using a VPN feeling super secure, and then bam, you hear about these vulnerabilities. It's like, wait a minute, what's going on here? That's exactly what we're diving into today. The recent findings from the cybersecurity firm Amber Wolf about how some pretty popular VPNs are actually pretty vulnerable.
And the thing is, it's not just theoretical vulnerabilities. This is stuff that's happening. There's a tool out there. It's called Nacho VPN, and it's not just like some game. It actually shows you how these vulnerabilities can be used to compromise systems. And it's making waves for sure, because it's like, oh wow, this is how easily some of these weaknesses can be exploited.
So Nacho VPN, for those who haven't heard of it, it's an open source tool that Amber Wolf created. And they did this very specifically to like show how vulnerable these VPNs are. And the concerning part is like it works on both Windows and Mac OS. So it's not just, a Mac problem or a PC problem. It's a pretty broad threat that could affect a lot of people.
And the thing that kind of, well, one of the things that unsettles me the most about this is that, Nacho VPN, it's modular. So even if patches are released for these vulnerabilities, attackers could just go in and modify Nacho VPN to exploit new weaknesses. So it's like a constantly evolving threat.
So we've got this tool that can basically unlock these VPNs, but let's talk specifics. Like what vulnerabilities are we talking about here?
So there are two main ones. First, there is a flaw in Palo Alto Networks' Global Protect VPN, and it's been assigned CVE 2024-5921. And these CVE IDs, by the way, they're like, think of them as fingerprints for vulnerabilities. It helps, researchers and security people keep track of everything. Now, this vulnerability, it's kind of ironic because it exploits the automatic update mechanism of the VPN.
Wait, so the system that's supposed to keep the VPN secure is actually being used against it?
Yeah, pretty much. So what happens is this flaw allows for remote code execution.
And for those who don't know what that means.
Basically, an attacker can run they can run their own code on your system without even being there. And it gets worse. It also allows for privilege escalation, so meaning they can get higher level access to your system.
So they can basically get the keys to the kingdom. So Global Protect users, not in a good spot, potentially. What about the second vulnerability? How's that different?
So the second one affects SonicWall's SMA 100 Net Extender, specifically the Windows version, and it's CVE 2024-29014. And this one also allows for remote code execution. But there's a key difference here. It needs some kind of user interaction.
So there is an element of human error involved in this one.
So attackers, they'd probably use social engineering tactics, like sending you a phishing email that looks like it's from your VPN provider. Or they might, trick you into clicking a link that takes you to a fake login page, or maybe even getting you to download a bad update. They prey on that trust we have, that we just assume things that look official are legit.
You're behind the VPNs, you think you're safe, but then you click the wrong link and it's game over. So how do we protect ourselves from that? Not just the technical part, but from these social engineering tricks. How we as VPN users, like how can we be more aware and avoid falling into these traps? It's almost like we need a VPN for our VPNs at this point. But seriously though, knowing about these tactics, that's got to be like the first step, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
What else can we do? Like how do we stay ahead of these guys?
Well, patching is always a good place to start. Palo Alto Networks, SonicWall, they both released patches for these issues, and keeping your software up to date is really crucial. I know those update notifications can be super annoying, but they're there for a reason.
It's kind of like ignoring the check engine light. You can keep driving for a while, but eventually it's gonna catch up to you. It's interesting though, SonicWall's Linux clients and their SonicOS firewalls. They weren't actually affected by this. So good news for some folks out there, but patching alone, it's not enough. We've got to like think about security in a bigger way.
Absolutely. Strong passwords. That's essential. And I don't mean just, tacking an exclamation point onto your usual password.
Right.
You got to make them strong. You got to make them unique. And if you're struggling, like, honestly, a password manager can be a lifesaver.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
They're game changers.
I used to try to remember all my passwords.
Oh, I know.
What a nightmare.
Yeah.
Now I use a password manager. Life is so much better.
It really is.
And you know, along those same lines, like multi-factor authentication, you got to have that too, right?
Yeah. Multi-factor, it just adds that extra layer, right?
Right.
So even if somebody guessed your password, they still need that second thing, that code from your phone or your fingerprint or you know, whatever it is,
right,
makes it so much harder.
So it's like having two locks on your door.
Exactly.
If someone picks the first one, good luck getting through the second one.
Yeah.
Now, beyond these individual steps, what about, you know, organizations as a whole? Like, what can they be doing?
Well, I mean, network monitoring, that's huge, right? It's like having a security camera for your network.
Right.
You can see what's happening, who's coming in, who's going out. Intrusion detection systems, those are awesome because, you know, they can alert you to anything suspicious, you know, before it becomes a big problem.
So instead of just reacting after a breach, you're actively looking for threats.
Exactly.
That's much better.
Yeah. Proactive. And then there's employee training, which is so important and so often overlooked. You know, you can have the best security technology in the world.
Right.
But if your employees don't know what to look for.
They're the weak link.
Exactly.
So it's not enough to just install some software and hope for the best.
No.
You've got to create a culture of security.
Yes, absolutely. 100%.
So what does that look like?
I mean, you got to train people how to spot a phishing email, how to recognize social engineering, you know?
Right.
Good password hygiene, all of that. And you know, it shouldn't be boring.
Right.
You got to make it engaging, make it fun.
I was going to say, like, what if we had like a choose your own adventure cybersecurity training?
Oh, I love that.
You know, like, do you click the link? Or do you report the suspicious email?
That's great. Yeah, you got to make it real.
Yeah.
Make it relatable. And it can't be a one-time thing, you know?
Right.
You got to keep it going, keep reinforcing it.
Okay, so we're always working on this. What about, you know, like what happens if something does happen?
Right.
What about incident response?
Well, yeah. I mean, no matter how much you prepare, there's always a chance that something's going to slip through.
Right.
And that's why you got to have a plan, an incident response plan. It lays out, you know, exactly what to do if you think or if you know that there's been a breach.
Right.
Who do you call? How do you contain the damage? How do you recover?
It's like having a fire drill for your digital world.
Yeah, exactly.
You might not ever need it, but if you do,
you're going to be glad you have.
You're going to be very glad you have.
Yeah.
Okay, so we've covered, you know, patching, passwords, multi-factor authentication, network monitoring, employee training. Incident response, it's a lot.
It is. It can feel overwhelming. But,
yeah.
But you know, security, it's not a destination. It's a journey.
Right.
It's about constantly learning and adapting. And it's everybody's responsibility. It's not just on the IT guys.
Right.
We all have a part to play.
So it's about creating this culture, this awareness.
Yes.
Where everyone understands that security matters.
Right.
And that we all have a part to play in it.
We gotta move beyond that it won't happen to me mentality. Because in today's world, you know, we're all targets. But the good news is we're not powerless.
Right.
We can do things. We can be proactive. We can make ourselves harder targets.
So now that we've, you know, talked about all these ways to protect ourselves, it kind of makes me think about the bigger picture here. Like, what does the future hold for VPNs?
Mm.
With all these vulnerabilities, are people going to start losing trust in them?
You know, it's a great question. And it's one that people are definitely talking about in the cybersecurity world.
Yeah.
I don't think VPNs are going away. I mean, they still provide real benefits for privacy, for security, especially when you're on public Wi-Fi or dealing with sensitive information.
Right.
But I do think we're going to see a shift towards more robust, you know, more sophisticated solutions.
So what does that look like? What's coming down the pipeline? Well, you mentioned like more sophisticated VPN solutions.
Right.
What does that look like?
I think we're going to see a lot more built-in security features.
Okay.
You know, things like multi-factor authentication, more advanced encryption protocols, maybe even like built-in malware protection. So it's not just about, you know, masking your IP address.
Yeah.
It's about actually, you know, being more secure.
So instead of just being a tunnel, it's like a fortified bunker for your data.
Yeah, exactly. Like they're going to be more proactive about detecting and preventing threats.
And maybe we'll even see, more like specialized VPNs,
Oh.
right? Like instead of trying to be everything to everyone,
Right.
you've got VPNs for businesses with, super high security, and then you've got like personal VPNs that are all about privacy.
Yeah, absolutely.
What about, all this AI stuff that we keep hearing about? Is
Right.
that going to play a role?
Oh, for sure. For sure. I mean, you know, we could have VPNs that are analyzing network traffic in real time
Right.
and blocking threats before they even get to you. Or VPNs that learn, you know,
Okay.
learn your habits, learn what you do online, and then adjust the security settings automatically.
So it's not just a static tool, it's like a partner.
Yeah, it's like an intelligent, you know,
Yeah.
security buddy.
Yeah.
But even with all of that, you know, we still can't forget about the human element.
Right.
Technology can only do so
You
much.
can't protect against, someone clicking on every bad link.
Exactly. Or
Yeah.
giving their password to anybody who asks. You know, we still need to educate people,
Yeah.
make them aware, you know, help them understand like what's social engineering?
Right.
What's a good password? What's a bad password?
Right.
Why do I need to keep my software updated?
Right. So it's about finding that balance, right,
Yes.
between like the power of the tech
Yeah.
and people making good choices.
Right. It's a partnership.
It is. It is. Well, I think this has been a really, really interesting deep dive.
Yeah.
We've talked about the vulnerabilities, the threats, and some potential solutions. Any final thoughts before we wrap up?
I just say, you know, VPN security, it's a journey. It's not a one-time thing. So stay informed, do your research, you know, pick your VPN provider carefully, and don't be afraid to ask questions.
That's great advice. And you're not alone out there. There are resources, there are experts, there's a whole community of people who care about online security. So we'll keep bringing you the latest info.
Sounds good.
So stay tuned for more deep dives.